Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Travel Department. Experience travel the way it's meant to be. Fully guided and extraordinary.
Now I'm joined by designer and artist Helen Steele here in studio with me. You'll probably recognise her super colourful collection for Dunn's. She was in Paris Fashion Week recently. Her spring-summer collection is just about to launch on her website. And she's taking part in Incognito Art this year for Jack and Jill. Helen, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and you are wearing beautiful colour. You're wearing turquoise. Let's get straight into colour. Were you always an artist at heart? I mean, as a child, were you kind of drawing, painting, splashing colour around everywhere?
I was, much to my mother's chagrin. I had a driven, demented. I was always drawing, painting, cutting up curtains to make clothes out of, just all that kind of stuff, making dresses for Alsatians out of communion dresses. Yeah, not popular, but yeah, it was always kind of making.
You all loved it. Where did you grow up? What was your childhood like?
I grew up in Maynooth, right beside the mill. It was part of the family business. It was beautiful. It was an idyllic childhood. It was good.
And then you went to boarding school, did you, in Wicklow? What was that like?
That was great. It was brilliant because you'd be in trouble at home and then you get to leave the family and go back to school. And then by the time term was up, you were in trouble in school and you got back home to escape. But you know what? It was really good for me in particular because I was very hyper. They were really good at finding something that you were good at and pushing you towards it. And also you grew up with a group of people. We'd very small a year, and literally some of those girls are, you know, my best friends to this day. They're like family. I was really, really lucky.
Which is lovely. And you say you were a bit hyper in school, because I know you were diagnosed, I think, with ADHD as an adult. And looking back now, did you realise there was something probably different yourself?
I think I was so ignorantly, blissfully happy as a kid, didn't really realise. It wasn't until I got to secondary school that I really noticed a difference. Even though classes were shorter, they were 40 minutes, I was still really hyper, not able to concentrate, always interrupting in class, always in trouble. And to be honest, even though I was extremely lucky to have a really good education, I still left school with a crippling sense of shame about my intellectual capabilities. It wasn't until I got to university that I started studying fashion design that I realised, oh, actually, I am good at something. I'm not mental. That was good. But you know what? It made my brain work in a completely different way. I don't think I would be the person I am today without it. So I see it as a superpower in a way.
And it probably really helps your creativity in the world of fashion where you now work.
Yeah, yeah.
When would you say your fashion career really took off?
I'd been in and out of the industry for 20 years. When I left college, thankfully, there was loads of manufacturing businesses here that you could, you know, learn to pattern cut properly, that you could learn to, you know, work the machines and that kind of thing. But I don't think my career properly took off until really I did the first kind of London and Paris Fashion Week. I think that was like a game changer. But what led to that was I was showing at an art fair in the Middle East, and the gallery I was with was part of the Omani royal family. So we had a very strict dress code. So I bought some abayas and basically cut a pattern from the shape of under the abaya, and I printed some of my artworks. I got them digitally printed in the Netherlands and made like 5 dresses, and that's what I wore for the whole of the entirety of the exhibition. And it was at that a buyer for a store called Boutique One, which is the equivalent of, say, Selfridges in the Middle East. She saw the pieces, my clothing, and we got talking, we exchanged numbers and stuff, and she said, you know, you really should do something with it. And at the time I was like working as an artist. I lived in Monaghan on a duck farm. It was like the furthest thing from my mind. But thankfully, yeah, with the support of a good group of people, I got back into the industry.
And that's amazing. And you still sell so well in the Middle East. I mean, do you consciously design with that market in mind? Even though I know, I think your clothes are made here in Ireland.
Everything's made here in Ireland. For the main line, it's made here in Ireland. And 60% of each collection is made from recycled fabrics and eco fabrics. But it sounds incredibly glamorous, but the reality is far from it. But sales, the Middle East is a very different place to sell into. They're not afraid of colour. And because I think I found a niche, and I'd been travelling in and out of the Middle East since the mid 90s. So I had a good understanding of the women in the industry, or the women living there. But sales in high end stuff at the moment it's not so good. Definitely not. Not just from me, but from other people I was talking to as well. It's not.
Do you think
great.
That's people change their attitudes to it, or why do you think that is?
I see it here as well. Mm. Like the people, you know. Do you know what the reality is? I don't know about. Well, what I can see is everyone is smashed. No one has that expenditure like we did when we came out of COVID. People are being very careful. Mm. And the first place you find when, you know, there's any economic uncertainty, the first place you find that is in art or in high-end stuff. The collection with Dunn's is going incredibly well, thank God. I mean, it's brilliant.
It's a fabulous collection.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm extremely lucky. I have an amazing team, and they're just a progressive, incredible company to work with. And I really do think they support Irish fashion and food as well.
Yeah, she's amazing, Margaret Heffernan. She never does an interview, of course. But she's amazing.
They're incredible, incredible.
And I know you went like through lots of people, a difficult time about 10 years ago. You got divorced, you moved house. But it seems like right now your life is really good and you're really active, aren't you?
Yeah, well, do you know, I've always been active because the whole...
Even on the duck farm in Monaghan.
Even on the duck farm in Monaghan. Yeah, look, I love running. I love doing big hikes with family and friends. And I went from clubbing in the 90s to from rave to running. So
it's not that much difference, really.
No, not really.
Still raving. And your three kids, I think they're in their 20s now.
They're all in their 20s.
Yeah, so yeah. Young adults.
Young adults, yeah.
And are any of them interested in what creativity like you?
The eldest, she studied drama in the Lear and then in RADA. And she's kind of working in the creative industry. The middle child as well is working in the creative industry, and then the youngest is just himself and is chilled and is working. He dropped out of college and is now working trading. Yeah. So he's happy.
Some of the most successful people drop out of college.
He's look at just once they're happy, that's all you care about. And he's very driven and he's doing well. So. And he's doing something and financially independent, which is what I'm all about.
Which is always a plus. Are you always thinking, as you were coming in today, I was wondering, like, because you're a designer and you're creative, are you always on? Like, when you wake up in the morning, are you always thinking about something, some new colour, some new design?
Yeah, literally the last, how I go to sleep, I'm not joking you, how I go to sleep is thinking about like what artwork I've prepared that day and how that can translate into a print, what kind of shape it's going to be on, or thinking of like a new location to shoot the Dunn's collection, or maybe something that someone has said to me on Instagram, because it's brilliant just for getting direct feedback and thinking, you know, oh, well, maybe that fleece would be good in that print, or, you know, thinking of kind of things I can fix from a design point of view. It's like a meditation in a way, especially the print, especially like thinking about what prints will work with what clothes. It's kind of like a Jenga puzzle in your head. Brilliant. Love
quite
it.
Interesting as well, the way you say people will offer you ideas on Instagram, because actually people give out about social media a lot.
Yeah.
But it's a lovely platform.
Do you know, I think it's like anything in life, it's about balance. But unfortunately with me, I have no balance. So it's like 90% of my life is lived on Instagram. But because of that, you get direct feedback from people. You know, there's no point in just putting more stuff, creating more stuff. You know, you need to listen to what people actually really need. Everyone has a lot of clothes. You need to really be thoughtful about what you're creating and what you're putting out there. And getting direct feedback from your customers is vital.
Yeah, it's invaluable.
It's really good. Yeah.
Of course, the fashion business, it is relentless though, isn't it? I mean, you have Spring Summer 2025 launching, but you're already working on Spring Summer 2026 and Autumn Winter 2027.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. Well, you have to think ahead because like it takes a year and a half sometimes you're working on stuff. And in some cases, 2 years, like you're thinking about research. What are people going to want to be wearing? How, and this is like the conundrum, how is the weather going to affect, you know, our hiking outside, what we're doing, what our lifestyle is? Like it's far less fickle than you actually think it is. There's so much involved. And also it's an extension of a human being, of like, you know, who we are and how we're feeling that day. And it's, I feel I'm really lucky to be able to have something in that kind of thought process in what someone's wearing or doing during the day.
Do you always wear a colour? Like you're wearing a beautiful turquoise? No.
No. I, like if I'm working on like awful admin or like accounts or those the desperate, awful things, I have to wear black because I can't have any distraction. Black is really good for kind of from a colour therapy point of view of like hiding in and to be able to concentrate. Yeah, it's really good.
Did you enjoy the process of making pieces for Incognito Art? It's obviously for a great cause, Jack and Jill. And do you think people, will they easily spot your work as a Helen Steele original?
Yeah, it's kind of obvious. I do something similar. Again, it's like a meditation. You know what? You come out of the Christmas fog and for us, it's really busy Christmas and sportswear in the new year. But it's really nice to be able to get straight back into the painting. And it's really nice to see at the launch all the other artists. But what's incredible is being able to do something that goes, that the funds go towards, you know, helping 420 children, you know, with complex healthcare needs, and that money goes towards nursing care. It's absolutely fantastic. And you know what? You think you don't, you know, that it's so far away from you. Yeah. But the village I lived in, one of the kids who's unfortunately passed away was a recipient of the Jack and Jill Foundation. And he was in my daughter's play school in when she was younger, the eldest. So you actually don't know what's, you know, in your village or, you know, where you live. And we're so bloody lucky. We really are.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a great cause. You're taking part in this Incognito 2025. It's an art sale where the artists behind the artworks are kept top secret until after the event. Half of the collection will feature in the Incognito Gallery in Charlemagne Square in Dublin too. And it's going to be on sale on April the 11th and 12th, while the other half will be available online on Wednesday, April the 16th. As we said, it's all in aid of the Jack and Jill Children's Foundation. And each postcard size artwork costs €70 and it can all be viewed at incognito.ie. Helen, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thanks,
stay being brilliant and colourful.